Hey everybody, Adam Hunter here. We got a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me. I'm here with Kelvin Gastelum at his house. He's getting a haircut right now. So while he's getting a haircut, let me tell you something. Fantasy football fans, the wait is nearly over. Football is back, which means FanDuel is back. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. They got new contests starting every week. No busted seasons. Something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from starting at just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score real time. This is awesome. I got a great team this week. I got Sam Bradford. I got Pryor Sr. I got Matthews. I got D. Walker. I'm telling you, my team is going to kick ass. And fantasy football is so much fun, and it's a lot more fun with FanDuel. So, over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my code MMA Roasted. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And guess what? New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com and sign up with the promo code MMA Roasted. That's FanDuel.com, promo code MMA Roasted, void where prohibited. It's a lot of fun. FanDuel's pretty damn awesome because every game matters. You can edit your lineup all the way up to the kickoff, and it's no season-long commitment. You can play for real cash. It's one-week fantasy, so if you're stuck with a bad fantasy draft, you're not exactly screwed all season. It's week to week, and you play when you want, immediate cash payout. It's awesome. You get a $60,000 salary cap, and you come up with lineups, and you got to check it out. So, FanDuel.com, promo code MMA Roasted. Thank you, and Kelvin's coming out of the haircutting place in his kitchen. He's actually getting a haircut right now in his kitchen, and let's start the show. Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am I'm at Kelvin Gastelum's house right now. Yes, yeah, you think it'd be a bakery or something, but it's not. We are here. I'm waiting for him to come. I showed up and he was actually getting a haircut in his kitchen. Yes, that's how we do it. You know, I always forget that he's Mexican until I come over and he gets a haircut in his kitchen. And it looks great. That's a great haircut, Kelvin.
Thanks, bro. Thanks,
no, yeah, honestly, you look very handsome, man. You look very handsome.
I appreciate it, man. You want to join in?
No, I'm good. I don't know what that meant, but I want to thank our sponsor, Mack Weldon. People, Mack Weldon's better than whatever you're wearing right now. They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. Listen, I love simple shopping. You ever go with your girl shopping? It's a pain in the ass. You got to sit there. You got to.
When you go with a girl.
We got to pay for parking, and then you got to go to the food court, and then go to every Sephora. It's a pain. This is way easier. They believe in the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that is naturally antimicrobial, which means that they eliminate odor. This will be good for you. And I'm telling you, they want you comfortable. You don't like your first pair? Keep it. They'll still refund you. No questions asked. Not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well too. It's good for working out. You know, you work out very much. You go on dates. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code MMA. Also, Blue Apron, number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, and they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. They've established partnerships over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers, and as a result, their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Their beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Listen, people, cooking together builds strong family bonds. Me and my wife, we love to cook together. We have Blue Apron Night. She dresses up in a little apron. She's hot as hell. I go behind her. I grab her. I'm telling you, it's great. Their upcoming meals are basil chicken pesto with basil pesto chicken with summer vegetable panzanella, sauteed shrimp and green beans with globe tomatoes, spinach and orzo pasta, whole grain pasta and summer vegetables with heirloom tomato caprese salad, and miso butter salmon and lo mein noodles with cucumber and charmed tomatoes. So I'm telling you guys, It's affordable. It's got variety, flexible, easy. It's guaranteed. Check out this week's menu and go get your first three meals free with free shipping. Go on to blueapron.com/MMA roast. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes. Be able to create home cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So can you go, and by the way, go to blueapron.com/MMA roast. Can you go a little bit closer there so I get you on camera? Perfect. So how are you, Kelvin? What's going on, man?
Man, everything good, man. Just been chilling at home. I went to, just came back from Monterrey, Mexico. I went to Goyito. I don't know if anybody knows Eric Goyito Perez.
Yes.
The Mexican fighter. He's a bantamweight.
Yes.
In the UFC.
Is he the guy that Caraway fish hooked?
Yeah. Yes. Right? Exactly. That's the guy.
Okay.
I went to his wedding this weekend in Monterrey, nice. Mexico. So that was cool.
There you go. I was wondering why you were there. I saw pictures and I...
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you go to Mexico, you grew up in Arizona, right?
I was born in San Jose, grew up in Arizona, yes.
But does Mexicans, do they claim you? Do you feel a sense of like love and pride from Mexico?
I guess.
Great. Yeah. You're such so successful. You're a nice guy and you're Mexican. Right? I mean, you're American, yeah. But your parents from Mexico, right?
Yeah. My whole family, like I'm like first generation Mexican.
That's great, American. Man. Good for you. I like it. I like it. Over the weekend, I went to this concert. It was Bobby Brown.
I saw that.
And Keith Sweat. And then it was Brandy and Drew Hill. And I was excited. Brandy and Monica. And then, we go to the concert. I'm all excited because I want to see Bobby Brown. I'm a big Bobby Brown fan, okay. New Edition fan. I saw him a couple years ago. He was great.
Nice.
And then Keith Sweat goes on, but we're there all day long. And there are some very big women
Keith
at this concert.
Keith Sweat went on. He sang Nobody?
Yes, he sang Nobody.
Nobody.
He sang Twisted. But it was supposed to be Bobby Brown, then Keith Sweat. And then Keith Sweat went on, did like an hour and a half, right? And everyone was doing like three or four songs. He did like a whole thing.
Nice.
He was supposed to be the headliner. Then like Bobby Brown's headlining. Then Bobby gets up there. It takes an hour to reset the stage. He does 3.5 songs. And he's like, yo... they told me that I can't do any more songs because they're cutting my time. But if you guys came to see Bobby Brown, go get your tickets back. Go get your money back.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Everyone's been there for 9 hours. He didn't sound that great. His voice was a little off.
Sucks.
But I saw 3.5, and then they cut him off halfway through My Prerogative. Like, he's up there with his kids dancing, and it was just so sad. And I was pissed because I wanted to see Bobby Brown do a full
set.
That
sucks.
So I tweeted them. I said, listen, concert, Summer Breeze concert, I wanted to see Bobby Brown. Not the way you treated the man. This guy's a legend. And then someone said that actually Bobby Brown wasn't there in time.
They responded?
Somebody else said that Keith Sweat actually was there because Bobby Brown wasn't ready. And I don't know what exactly happened. All I know is that the fans got screwed. I don't know if it was Bobby's fault.
I'm sure they got screwed. Yeah, I'm sure it happens all the time.
It was rough.
I went to a Metallica concert not too long ago in Pasadena. That was awesome. They went for almost 3 straight hours.
No way.
Avenged Sevenfold, I guess, was there too. A couple other bands opened up. But they went on until like midnight. No, I got out. I had to get out there before.
Are you a big metal guy?
I'm a big Metallica guy.
Yeah.
I like Metallica. I love Metallica. I've been listening to them forever.
Nice. That's awesome. I like it.
Spent like an hour looking for my fucking
car. How looking for what?
For my car.
Oh, Jesus. How are the girls there? I never like, are the girls hot at Metallica concerts, or is it just mostly dudes and
mostly dudes and dudes with their girlfriends. Yeah. I went by myself, so.
You went by yourself?
Yeah.
No way.
It was cool, yeah.
You didn't have a friend to go with?
No. Unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how does that happen?
Well, I was going to go with one of my coaches. He had a he had a family affair to attend, and so he couldn't make it. And
that's
so
crazy.
He dropped the ball.
That was the night of UFC
214.
Jones. So you went by yourself. Do you see Josh Barnett? He was there.
No, I didn't see that.
That's pretty cool. You going by yourself to Metallica concert?
It was sick, man. I like concerts. Do you like concerts?
I love, of course. My favorite thing is concerts. Are like I actually saw Lady Gaga the week before.
No,
and I'm not a big Gaga fan. My wife is, but put on a great show.
Ah, nice.
I mean,
I went to Roger Waters at the Staples Center not too long ago as well.
You have it by yourself again?
No, with my roommate. he's a big Pink Floyd guy. And he got me into it, so that was pretty cool. I mean, he sold out the Staples Stadium for like 3 days in a row.
Yeah, Roger Waters is a genius.
It was sick. One of the best concerts I've ever been to.
Now, you know, I feel like the older guys, the older concerts are usually better because I feel like a lot of times these new groups, they get one hit and they go on tour and they don't really develop. A lot of these people, they don't really actually spend the time to really, you know, have a career and struggle. The struggle's not there for a lot of these young kids, especially rappers or, you know, not especially rappers, but a lot of times, like, they get these, like, one thing where it's like, hey, this is my thing, and it blows up.
Yeah.
Same with comics. You get these Vine stars or Instagram stars, and then people go see them, and how was it? Oh, well, I got a picture at the end. Like, yeah, but how was the show? Oh, well, yeah, because they didn't actually have to fucking struggle. Everyone wants to cut the line. It's like this. Everyone wants to get their hand raised. Nobody wants to go to wrestling practice, right? Right. That's the...
Sure.
Speaking of which, by the way, how much... You're looking kind of big right now. How much... What are you weighing?
I'm probably like 205, 208.
208.
All right. 208.
208.
What,
wow.
What
now,
do you think? What do you think?
I don't know, man. I think that... I think your ear might be 180 pounds, but I think
no,
that
I haven't. I haven't been in training just yet.
Have you been hurt at all, or
no? Just taking some time off before I start training camp.
Now, you know, your last fight against Weidman. Let's talk about this. It was I was pulling for you, man. I like Chris. Chris is a friend of mine, but you're the, like, the homie, you know.
Yeah.
I really was pulling for you, and you hurt him in the first. I mean, you almost had him out.
Yeah, well, I was testing out the waters with him, see what he brought. You know, and he came in throwing hard. Threw some kicks, threw some strong hooks, and I was hesitating to come in. At first, I was like, man, he's going to gas himself out because he was throwing heat, you know?
Right.
So I was just kind of seeing what he brought to the table and see what he was kind of...
Start off a little slow. You weren't, like, up to your, like...
Yeah, well, actually, that whole day, I just felt really relaxed, like, too relaxed. Like, am I even going to fight, you know? Like,
right,
it was weird. It was weird.
So you were too calm.
Yeah.
So how
that whole that whole day.
Now, how does one prevent that from happening? Like, is there a way...
You know what? I don't know, because usually I'm pretty good about flipping the switch.
Right.
Usually I'm very, very good about flipping the switch, but no... I was calm for some reason.
Right. So then you land that punch, but there was like, and I'm like, man, if that punch would have landed a little earlier in the round, that fight would have been over.
Yeah, maybe about 15, 20 seconds. I don't know.
Because he didn't know where he was. He went back to his corner.
Yeah,
and
he
was like,
he was hurt. Like, he was covering up, and I felt him, like, yeah, if I would have had about 10, 15 seconds, it would have been lights out.
Now, when you go into the second, are you thinking jump on him? He's hurt?
Well, I'm thinking coming out, picking up the pace a little bit more for sure because, you know, I felt like I needed to coming into the second round, yeah.
Now then it just seemed like, and Calvin, I hate to say this because it's your house, but it just seemed like he was a lot bigger than you.
Yeah.
It seemed like...
Well, that was the first time I ever felt somebody so strong like that, like really big, really strong. Kept me down, like, oh man, I don't know. It was hard to deal with.
And that was my fear about this fight for you, was that it was going to be a good big guy versus a good smaller guy. And that's what it looked like. He had a foot on you.
Yeah.
And he was,
oh, for sure.
And
more,
it looked like it was
that,
a big
sure.
brother beating up his little brother.
Yeah.
I mean, is that how you felt a little bit?
Well, looking back at the fight now, like, I was in the fight more than I thought. Like, in there, I felt like I was just getting dominated.
Right.
But looking back at the fight, I was winning the stand-up battle for sure, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And then the grappling positions, he was just winning by... Yeah, he was winning them.
Right. No, right. Now, at that point... Now, can you not get up? Are you thinking sweep? Are you thinking roll him? Are you thinking, okay,
thinking,
just hang out here for a while, see what happens?
In the second round, I'm thinking I'm going to hang out. He got the takedown. I'm going to spend way too much energy trying to get up because he's a big boy. And then the third round, it was getting harder to get him off.
Now, are you playing the math in your head? Like, okay, I won round one. Second round, I lost. Now, are you doing the math in your head?
Well,
like,
no,
okay.
I was told I was losing all the first two rounds.
Oh, your corner said?
Coming into the third, I was thinking, like, I have to win this round.
Yeah.
And I came in, guns blazing.
Right. But his double leg. Now, at that point, after the fight, you seemed like you were in a great mood. I mean, you've been posting stuff on Instagram.
After the fight?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
After the fight, it seems like you're, your social media, you're like, all right, you know, like, it's like very inspiring.
You know, how else can you take it? I mean,
well, a lot of guys get crushed.
Well, it's part of the game. You know, you go in there thinking there's a 50% chance of winning and losing.
Yeah, but yeah, but you've never lost like that. Like you've never, the fights you've lost, you've come in 97 pounds heavy, or but you've never lost, But I don't. But I still think like that's why like right now I'm like okay, 205. Are you gonna go down to 170 or stay 85?
For my next fight, we're still trying to figure it out.
Okay, all right. there's a rumor.
Yeah,
that Anderson Silva in China. That's. You know? That, is that?
We'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. I don't know yet.
All right. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, to be honest, I want to fight at 170. But if a fight like Anderson Silva is offered, then for sure, I would accept it.
Okay, so now you're kind of stuck because you're like, all right, I can go to 170, which is what I probably should be at.
Sure.
Because these guys are fucking coming down from 230, and they should be 230.
Yeah. That's what I felt. Chris was. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you showed up to the fight in a taco truck. All right. Okay. But then there's Anderson Silva, who's that's a big money fight.
Yeah,
you'll make a ton of money.
You'll
get the headline. Shit. You'll headline fucking.
Yeah, I'll headline another card.
China, you're like, I mean, you're a heavyweight in China. they're gonna look at you and think fucking King Kong showed up, right?
Ooh.
Yeah. So in China, yeah, that's a great money, and you could beat Anderson Silva. right? I think so.
Yeah, for sure. If the fight is accepted and the terms are ideal, then I'll accept the fight for sure.
What are the terms?
I don't know.
This is very secretive here. Very cryptic here. But I hear you. I hear you. At 185. Now, are you kind of happy though? But like Anderson Silva, if I fight Anderson Silva, I don't have to diet. Is that kind of cool?
Well, I mean, I still have to eat right. Like it's not like I'm out eating burgers fucking during like before training camp.
Right.
Or before training.
Right. What was that? Didn't someone tweet something that you were like a picture of you having burgers or something? And then like when you missed weight, they like said this is what you were at last week. That was bullshit, right? There was like a meme or something going around. I forgot what it was. Anyway, all right, okay. Well, listen, man. You know, Calvin,
the
world is your oyster, man. I mean, you have the fact like it's almost like I thought, man. The worst thing you could have happened in that fight if you lose is dropping Chris Weidman, because you know that you could beat any of these guys. You know, it's like you're capable of beating anybody at 185, but at 170, I think you fought Tyron Woodley. You were in the hospital an hour before, right? I mean, what was it?
Yeah. Wow. I was in the hospital the day before.
Yeah. You came out. It was a very close fight.
It was probably one of the worst nights I've ever had performance wise and just in my life.
And it was a split decision, right?
Yeah, took him to a split decision.
So, fuck, man. But I think 170 is probably where you want to be at, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And eventually, I know I will get down there to fight for the title, so.
Oh, yeah, you're right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a fight away from the title.
100%, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited, you know, which is why I was pretty cool about that Chris Weidman fight. Like, I feel like my upside for the sport is just almost enormous, you know, it's endless. I'm 25 years old and I feel like I'm just still beginning.
Yeah.
I'm just still starting, I think.
Oh, 100%. And like, you had no amateur career, right? Did you have any amateur fights?
Nah, just one.
Well, I mean, you went on the Ultimate Fighter. What was your record going in there? Like
five and oh.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there. I mean, your jiu-jitsu is good, your boxing's good, your wrestling's good. Just the only thing that you struggle with is the waist, but you're there, man. You're there, and you're a likable guy. That's what I was saying. Like I could see the Mexico really getting behind you because you're such a likable guy. I'm telling you, women have told me. I know girls that have told me like, "Hey, is Kelvin single?" Women like you. I don't know what they see, but they like you. I think they feel safe because of all the flesh blanket.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
come on, man.
Now
they like me because of my good looks, man.
Of course, no, especially with that haircut. Now McGregor Mayweather. What are your thoughts on this?
It's entertaining. It's an entertainment thing. I don't think it's a real fight. But it'll be fun to watch. It's entertaining. I think the two of one things can happen. Did I say that
one
right?
One of two things.
One of two things can happen. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
one of two things can happen. Either McGregor surprises the world like he usually does.
Fuck.
I mean, everything he said, he's done. You know?
Pretty much, right?
And I feel like if one guy in the world can surprise anybody, it would be McGregor. But on the other hand, I feel like if if McGregor wasn't realistic about his abilities, then I think he'd get clowned.
But don't you feel like that's kind of how it's going? Like, I mean, all right, like Frankie Edgar's a good wrestler, right? Yeah. But if he goes up against Jordan Burroughs, he gets smashed.
Yeah.
And isn't this kind of what's the same thing? I guess in wrestling, you can't get knocked out, and you always have that puncher's chance in boxing. But
yeah.
But isn't it sort of like you're fighting the most dominant guy at what he does? And then people go, well, he's 40.
Sure.
And the other guy's 27. You're like, okay, all right, that's an argument right there. I'm 39. I understand what it feels like to be almost 40 and not an athlete, you know, or not as athletic as I was in my early 20s. Okay, but still, it's not like he's fighting a Mayweather that's been through wars, and it's not Eddie Alvarez's version of Mayweather, where it's like, sure, okay, maybe he's taken too many punches, you know. Nothing against Eddie Alvarez, but you understand what I'm saying. He hasn't been through these battles. He's been hurt maybe three times in his whole career.
McGregor?
Mayweather.
Mayweather. Okay, yeah.
So
I've seen him hurt very few times.
Very few times.
You know, well, that's what they call him, the master of the... That's why they call him a defensive fighter. He's one of the greatest that ever did it defensively.
I mean, you've been in boxing gyms, right? Plenty of times. Didn't you box for a whole year and a half? like straight boxing?
There was a point where I boxed for like 2 years, yeah.
Okay, straight. So straight boxing.
Yeah.
And how did you do against the pros?
Not that good. Well, some good, some not. It just depends on the style. But, I mean, sometimes some styles match up to where my style fits up good. To
who was the best guy you ever boxed?
Shoot, who is it? I can't even remember. He must have not been that good.
Right. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you know what? I don't know. You're right. If I kind of want McGregor to win just because of the MMA thing and the...
Oh, I'm definitely going to be cheering for him.
And like the Mayweather, you know, beating up women thing is just... Like, it's hard to get behind the guy that, with that track record. I mean, he was found guilty of it. It wasn't like he was allegedly beat up.
Okay,
you know, really? He went to jail for it. You know?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for domestic abuse. But dang. I think it was something. It was something strange. But yeah, so it's hard to get behind a guy like that. At the same time, it's hard to get really behind McGregor because of just how he treats people. It seems like he's, I don't know. He's kind of a dick to Nate Diaz, but not exactly.
What is he, Dick Nate?
Yeah, Nate's kind of a guy that I could see get under people's skin as well. I don't know. It's almost like it's hard to like.
No, I'm definitely gonna be rooting for McGregor though, being that he's the MMA guy representing MMA guys.
Yeah, that's true. But it just seems like both these guys are just like money, 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 and whoever has more money is a better person. And you're like, the fuck is going on here?
Oh,
right?
For sure.
You don't see Frankie Edgar making it rain up there. Or, you know, like there are guys that, like, even GSP. GSP's got a lot of fucking money out there, but you don't see him acting the way these guys act.
Right.
It's hard to get behind. And GSP probably has some of these cars and this and that, but he doesn't throw it in your face. I mean, Floyd Mayweather was at one point burning $100 bills on TV.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Like, there are a lot of people out there that could use that money.
That's just the mentality now these days, unfortunately. And you see it more and more often with the athletes and celebrities and stuff like that.
Thank God I found a woman that doesn't like that, because she's with me.
Yeah. You're not making it rain every day.
No, I'm making it rain with tears. No, but that's the thing. You ever meet a girl like that where...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are so many women like that that's all about status and what you've achieved financially or what you've achieved in your career. And you're just like, man, fuck, like... I remember Prince Nassim Hamed was like, he remember him in the boxing ring, and he's like, whoever dies with the most toys wins. That's what he said.
Who said that?
Prince Nassim. Remember the boxer, Nassim Hamed?
Okay.
He was this boxer in the 90s, and he had crazy punching power.
I think I remember
him. He would just knock people out left and right. He had a great fight with Kevin Kelly, but he was this arrogant guy, and I mean, beyond arrogant. It's all about money, money, money.
Hmm.
And then he ended up doing like 105 in his Ferrari, killing somebody,
fled
the scene of the accident, like got never fought again, gained 700 pounds, like sort of, I mean, never
something wrong with those people.
I think so.
Oh, well, just more money is the most important thing?
Yeah. You know, mentally, you know, there's just something wrong about it, I think. It's an addiction.
Is that your driving force? No, right?
No, it's never been my driving force. I mean, I was fighting for $250 in some bar in Mexico. I mean,
really?
For fun, you know? I mean, it was not.
Wait, tell me about this. You actually did that?
Yeah.
What bar in Mexico?
I was like 17. I was a senior in high school. I did my first fight in Mexico. It was in some freaking strip bar. I mean, it was next to a strip bar. It wasn't an actual strip bar, but it was like right next to one. And it was just really odd.
And it was MMA rules?
Yeah, it was MMA rules.
You got gloves? MMA gloves?
Yeah, it was everything.
And did you MMA. And how did they find you?
But it was in,
how
it was
did
in
you
ring.
Find them?
I got offered the fight like two days before that, and my friend who was a wrestler as well had been fighting for a while. He told me they were looking for a welterweight fighter, and if I wanted to take the fight on 2 days' notice.
So you're a senior, and then you drive down to Mexico with your friend.
Yeah,
now,
so,
did you miss weight for that fight too, or no?
No.
All right, go on.
and so I ended up taking the fight on 2 days' notice, and. Got the arm bar in the first 3 minutes, I think.
Wow. Now, I mean, so you knew jiu-jitsu?
And I had been training for about 2.5 years by then.
Okay. But I was MMA wrestling. Training at 16?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I was wrestling mostly all the time.
And you were also the state champ of Arizona.
Yeah.
People
so I had just won the state championship, and then right after that, I went and fought my first fight.
Now, I had heard, now, by the way, let me make sure this is going.
Yeah.
Now, I had heard from other people in Arizona that you were not favored to win the state championship that year, that everyone was overlooking you. Everybody was like, no way, he's not going to win the state championship. Mm. And you surprised everybody, and you just shocked everybody by winning the state championship.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was ranked number one in the division.
Okay. All right. So that wasn't that big of a... Because everyone was like, Kelvin came out of nowhere.
But I'm sure everybody was surprised I was ranked number one. I don't know.
You're surprising everybody. I was telling people that. I'm like, if you would have told me, like, you were favored going into the Weidman fight, right?
Yeah, that was strange to me.
And I'm thinking, if you would have told me, after Weidman beats Anderson Silva, that he was, in 2 years from that point on, whatever it was,
he'd fight me.
That he would fight the guy in the Ultimate Fighter house, pick last, and that guy would be the favorite. At 185,
yeah, right?
I'd be like, you're out of your fucking mind. What? Yeah. What are you smoking? Yeah, and CM Punk is pound for pound the best fighter of all time, and Brock Lesnar is clean,
yeah.
And Diego Sanchez is normal. I would be like, there's no way
that's
any of
my brother.
Yes, I love Diego. He's a good dude. Diego's my way.
But you're fucking totally right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, I mean, you keep proving people wrong.
Yeah, I mean, ever... I guess ever since that's just had been my story my whole athletic career, I think.
Now, I had also heard that you were kind of a mama's boy, and that
you
left college because you missed your mom.
Big time.
And that you wanted to sleep home with your mom in the house. Is that
no,
that?
No, more like I flunked out of college.
You flunked out of college, so it wasn't because you missed your mom.
Yeah, no. I was wrestling in college, but then I wasn't made for school, man. You know. I don't know if you were or like.
I left after 3 years. I wanted to have nothing to fall back on. About a year
too,
ago, I went to go get my grades and figure
me
out how to go back.
Like, I don't know. I just believe there's some people that are like can sit there and be in a class and just do whatever, and some people can't. Like I could never.
I just felt like I had a TV show in college, which ended up getting sued for $20 million for negligence for causing a riot on campus. But
uh-oh.
It's a whole separate thing. It was called D's Nuts, and yes, yeah, no, I'll tell you. Basically, it was like I had a show. It was a call-in show called D's Nuts, and I was the host. And this girl called in, and she's like, "You swept me at the gym," and blah blah. I'm like, "Okay." And then everyone started calling in and calling her a whore. Which I didn't know who this girl was, and she just came down to defend herself on the air and jumped in front of the TV and started the camera, and then started making fun of her, and then she went back and the guy she hooked up with came on. It was like Jerry Springer of SUNY Binghamton. And then I got wrapped up in this $20 million lawsuit for negligence, and then she sued the school for $20 million and the other guy for my dad's like, you go to school for 6 months, come home with a $20 million lawsuit, can't you just go to class like everyone else? But that was the most fun I've ever had in my life hosting that show, and I figured like all my friends. Are like,
did you have like a set and everything, or was it?
It was, yeah. I had like, it was like a, I don't know what I was doing, but the thing was that everybody else I realized that like everyone else was like, this college is the best years of my life. And I was like, no, I don't, I want the best years of my life to be every year of my life.
Yeah.
And all I care about, everyone else in this school that I went to, not everyone, but the people that I was associating with, which was probably one of the problems, was that money, jobs, money sure. equals happiness, and happiness is whatever. And it's like they all had their whole fucking lives planned sure. out of like, I go to college, I get a good job, I make X, I work on Wall Street,
yeah,
and then like I get a wife who I don't even love and I cheat on, and then and then we have kids who whatever, and then we get a house in the Hamptons, and then we live happily ever after. And I have been around enough people to know that that's bullshit. That, right. that I mean, that some people that works for. Other people, it's
but
like...
But what's the percentage of that? Not
yeah.
Very, not very much.
No, how about you get a job that you like doing?
Right.
And how about you marry a woman that you love? And don't put a fucking time frame on it either. 100%. Because you don't 100%. Have to get married by 22 Absolutely. Or 25 or 30. So anyway, so that's why I left, because I'm like, you know what, there's something else, and I didn't know what it was, and I started doing comedy, and I just fell in love with comedy, and nice. It's been a fucking 20-year journey, and it's been up and down.
At what
and
age
and down.
did you...
I started at 20 years old.
20 years old, but when did you think, like, oh man, like, this is really cool?
The first 8 years were brutal, man. I was literally on the street corner of Times Square, handing out flyers, begging people to come to my comedy show, and people were spitting on me. Or I would see girls that I went to college with going to a Broadway show all dressed up, and they'd be like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, great, I'm at Hamburger Harry's tonight at the back of the burger joint, and it was fucking brutal. And then I'd have to, and I was not getting paid. I didn't make a fucking dollar for 7-8 years. And everyone was telling me, dude, like, this is a hobby, and I was bombing. I was getting, it was horrible. But then... you get a little bit of like success.
First
I think,
8 years, man, that's incredible. You just stick to it.
I think the Tonight Show, the second time the Tonight Show, I go, all right, this is cool. Last yeah. Comic Standing, I'm like, okay, you know. But even after that, it hasn't been like smooth sailing ever since. It's still
yeah,
me
I'm
hustling.
Sure.
To, like,
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
sure.
like being a fighter. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I'm sure you look at some of these guys. It's like. You know, a guy like Rico Rodriguez, you know, it's
yeah.
at one point he's nothing, and then he's beating Randy Couture, and then he's losing. And it's just, it's never, for very few people, it's just up the whole way.
Yeah. I remember I went to go see you at the Gotham.
Yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
New
yeah.
York. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you came with Uriah Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
We
and
had
my,
a great time.
And it was funny because my little brother Max was there.
Dude,
and
he's awesome.
He's the best.
He's always saying what's up.
You're his favorite fighter. Honestly.
Tell him I said what's up.
No worries, man. He's a big fan of yours.
He's always
man.
Saying what's up. So shout out to your brother.
But even that show, like the Ultimate Fighter, and Uriah Hall's a great fighter, but if you were to watch that show, you're like, Uriah Hall is the can't miss of that show.
Yeah, for sure. They made him out to be like this god.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, he was,
which was cool. Like, he deserved it. Like, why not?
But then everyone was sleeping on you. You just kept yeah. You kept winning. Yeah. Which is great, man. I still think 170 is the place. Now,
for sure.
Now, do you have that? You have a girlfriend now?
Yeah, I'm dating someone. I got a girlfriend.
Is she the fitness trainer?
No.
Oh, who's this one?
Actually, I think she recently got married.
The fitness trainer did.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was looking through my stories and Instagram stories, and that pop Uriah Hall's at her wedding.
No, really? What a dick.
Why?
I don't know.
No, they were, no.
Did you ever see a girl you used to date, you see her boyfriend, and then you like judge him immediately? You're like, oh he's out of
shape.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
He looks like a fucking loser.
Oh, yeah. This guy's not as good as me.
Yeah. Exactly. You're like, oh, you could have had this.
Yeah.
I think every guy does. I think that's what Facebook was actually meant for. So you can see your exes and see how badly they aged.
Yeah, right. Oh, I do it all the time on Facebook. No, I'm kidding.
I do it too. I do it. Then I'm like, what am I doing with my life? But then I'm just see a girl, though, you're like, man, I fucking slept on that one. Like, that girl turned out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Some of them turn out really great.
Some of them do. But then you're like, why is this person... Whenever you see a hot girl, like... sometimes you see a hot woman and she's like over 35 and she's like smoking hot. You got to go, why is she single?
Yeah, she's either crazy or... I don't know.
Something's going... I see a lot of girls, though, like on, you know, basically that bought into that system of they got married at 23, thought they had this, and now they're divorced. And now that was like, for a while, I was basically like, going through some of those, not going through them, but I was hooking up with some of those girls later on in life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I banged the hottest chick in that sorority. Granted, she was 29, and not the hottest girl anymore, and has two kids. But either way, it was a bucket list thing. So.
No, I knew a girl like that.
Yeah. Have you been watching Tuesday Night, the Contender series?
No.
It's pretty good. Snoop Dogg.
I've only catched a few fights, and I watched the Snoop cast, which is my favorite. I only watch it to watch that.
I like it, too, but I think he needs to have a little more respect for some of these guys.
Yeah, for sure. He torches them.
I mean, calling people bitches.
Like
telling them that
he goes over the way.
And yesterday, he was like, man, you got this fine-ass girl, and you're getting your ass kicked in front of her. You need to take that ass off. I'm just like, dude.
And then he's getting, bombed on, and then one guy's getting bombed on. He's like, yeah, go to sleep. Bombing them.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
What bitch? Yeah. I'm like, dude, that's where I kind of think someone needs to sit him down and be like, Snoop, we like what you're doing, but, you know, maybe
tone it back a little bit on that.
Or maybe just put him through a couple workouts. Just so he could see just how hard you guys work. A week.
I don't know. It's Snoop Dogg. I think he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Maybe, but I think if he had 1 week of actually having to train with you guys, he would have a whole different perspective. And calling you guys bitches would not be on the menu, you know?
For sure.
You know, just so
he has no clue. No clue. Like, people have no clue what we do.
Oh, no. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I just know from high school wrestling how hard that is. And you do that times fucking 10. Because now you're throwing in jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and this and that. And so, are you training? Where are you training now out of?
Kings MMA.
Still at Kings?
It's 2 minutes from here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. How's the... now, since Dos Anjos left, have you noticed any kind of... Has it been a lot different or no?
Like... In the gym?
Yeah.
No. The gym is growing. The team is growing. You know, everybody's doing really well. Like, we have a strong, strong team.
Yeah. How's Ellenberger looking?
Ellenberger, you know what? I haven't seen him.
Tell him to come back.
Yeah, you tell him to come back. I haven't seen him either, you know?
So, let's talk about some of the fights coming up. Chitty and Jikawani. He's taking on Andriy Koreshkov.
In what league?
In Bellator.
Okay.
You know Anthony's brother, Chitty Bang?
Chitty Bang Bang?
Yeah.
Chitty and Jikawani?
Yeah. He's fighting Andriy Koreshkov. You know him?
No.
All right. So we'll go skip that one. Fernando Gonzalez versus Brennan Ward. You know Fernando?
Fernando
trains over at Kings MMA. Tough guy. So is Brennan Ward, but he does not fight that smart. All right, let's just go to the UFC 115. UFC Fight Night 115. Stefan Struve versus Volkov.
Oh, they're headlining that fight, right? Man, that's toughy because Stefan, you never know which Stefan is showing up to the fight. Whether he looks really good, sometimes he looks really average, and then sometimes he looks really, really, really bad.
Yeah,
you never know with him.
So you're picking. Volkov. Yeah, Volkov is a good fighter, man. I mean, he beat Roy Nelson. I think he was the Bellator champion for a while. Big Volkov. Dude and hard to beat. Jermaine Durandamé, who vacated her title at 145, is now back down to 135, taking on Marion Renault.
Don't know much about either, except I saw the title fight with Jermaine, and I mean, she didn't really impress me much.
She didn't impress you? Mm-mm. Because he was hitting after the bell, that kind of thing.
That didn't impress me either. Like, she was just very flat-footed, didn't throw much combinations. I don't know.
By the way, where did you meet your girlfriend?
In Vegas.
Oh, really? At a club?
At a club.
Did you approach her or she approached you?
What happened? I don't know if you know Eric Albarracin.
Oh, yeah. He's a coach for...
Like, he hangs out with Henry.
Henry's coach. Yeah.
Yep. So we were hanging out with him and Henry and my roommate and me, right? And he brings me to her. He brings her to me. Because we're all dancing. And he's like, here, you dance with him. And she was like, all right. And then, we started dancing. We started hanging out. And we started hanging out ever since that night.
Nice.
It was weird.
Wow. Is she a white girl?
Yeah.
Nice. You guys connected now. What does she do for a living?
She doesn't work for a living. She lives with the parents in New Orleans.
Is she legal? I think I told you the last time you told me this. Is she 18 or?
No.
19, 20? 23. And lives with her parents?
Lives with her parents.
Hmm.
I think she just graduated
College.
From LSU.
Oh, LSU. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So hot college girl.
Yep.
And you guys are serious?
Yeah, it's pretty serious, I guess. We've been dating. Not I guess, but I mean it is, I guess.
Does she live in Louisiana still?
Yeah.
So how often do you see her?
I see her. I'm going to go see her this weekend.
Okay.
And we're going to go to a friend's wedding in Chicago.
Nice.
But yeah, I see her, man. We see each other often as we can. I mean, I don't know.
All right. There you go.
Every other 3 or 4 weeks, I don't know.
3 or 4 weeks. Oh, that's all right. That's
yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad. Seer Badazara, you know him?
Who?
Seer Badazara. He's a tough guy. He's trained over at Rain. Big, strong guy. He was knocking people out left and right. Then he lost a couple fights. Taking on Rob Wilkinson at 185.
Is this Bellator?
No, this is UFC.
Oh, okay.
Brian Barberena is taking on Leon Edwards.
Okay. That should be a good fight.
Yeah. What do you like on that one?
Leon Edwards has really, really underrated good boxing. But
Barberena just keeps coming forward.
Barberena, exactly. That's what I was just going to say. Barberena just puts the pressure, you know, and he's going to come really, really aggressive. I don't know. It'll be like
I hope Barberena wins.
Tactician.
I like Brian. He came to my show. He's got like 7 kids.
Does he?
He's got like 3, but his wife is beautiful. He's
yeah,
a cool guy.
I know all the guys from the lab. I used to go up there quite a bit while I was coming up. I was like 18, 19.
Yeah, those guys, that's a good team.
Yeah, I was like 18, 19. I was living in Yuma, drive up to Phoenix and train with Benson, and Escudero was down there. So
speaking of which, David Michaud is fighting this Friday night. I don't know if you know him.
Machado?
The Bulldog. David Michaud, he's a Native American, trains at the lab. He's fighting in the LFA. He's a good dude. He was in the UFC. He got cut. He went 1-2 in the UFC. He lost to...
Yeah, I know David.
Yeah, he lost to that good guy from Canada that... Oliver St. Mercy or whatever.
Yeah.
He lost to him, but he's tough guys. He's fighting for the LFA title. I think in LFA this Friday night.
Nice.
And then UFC 216, UFC 215, Ray Borg versus Demetrius Johnson.
Ooh, that should be cool.
Nobody's picking Borg.
Nobody.
But I don't know. This Borg kid, I don't know. I think he's getting overlooked here.
Well, we have the same manager, Ali, and Ali's really big into this kid. I don't know the kid. I actually haven't seen much of his fights. But Ali actually is really smart about fights. So he's really big into this kid. We'll see.
I may pick Borg for the upset. I don't know why, and it'll be crazy, and everyone's like, put money on it. But this has one of those weird fights where everybody's overlooking this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnson's a tough guy. He's a strong guy. He's a smart guy. But Borg has nothing to lose. And he's just a grinder.
Yeah.
I mean,
Makes it ugly.
Makes it ugly, but also has some pretty big wins. Like beat Scoggins, and I'm pretty sure he beat
That's
Scoggins.
A tough fight.
He beat a lot of guys that people said he wasn't going to beat. Nunez versus Shevchenko.
Ooh, I got Nunez.
Me too.
Yeah.
Everyone's picking Shevchenko.
Really?
Yeah.
She. I mean, if anybody... I don't see anybody beating Amanda Nunez, but... If there's anybody in the division that can, is Shevchenko.
Yeah.
Which I don't see anybody else beating her, though. It's going to be really hard to beat Nunez.
Now, what do you think? Why do you think she pulled out that fight?
I don't know.
I mean, you've never pulled out of a fight on purpose, have you?
No, not on purpose.
Yeah. Junior Dos Santos versus Francis Ngannou. This kid,
Francis Ngannou.
The guy's a monster.
I was there for about almost a month in Vegas UFC Institute.
Yes.
That's where he trains at now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This guy's a monster. I see him there every day, like, hitting the bag, like, hey.
Yeah, you invited me to train with you. Hey, like, hey, come to the class. I go, is it going to be everyone in the UFC? They're like, you're like, yeah.
No.
I'm like, yeah, I think I'll pass on this class.
Come on, dude. It was just my team.
Oh, it's just your team. Okay, even worse. All right. So you're picking Ngannou for this one.
Yeah, man. I think he can be a future champion for sure.
And Gilbert Melendez versus Jeremy Stephens.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one. I'm going to start Jeremy Stephens for that one.
Over Gilbert?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough
Jeremy
one.
Jeremy comes forward, man.
Yeah, yeah. He does come forward. And then Neil Magny versus RDA versus Dos Anjos.
Ooh, that's a bad fight for Dos Anjos, I think.
Why?
Because of the height and length of
Magny?
Yep.
Yeah. Have you ever trained with Magny?
Yeah. No, I fought him.
What happened in that fight?
I lost the split decision.
Oh, yeah. Remember that, but you came back.
Yeah.
He won like the first three and you came back. You had him hurt, almost out.
Yeah, I dropped him twice.
So you're picking Magny in this fight?
Yeah.
Okay. And you trained with both of them?
Well, I fought Magny and I trained with
That's a good
RDA.
Pick for you. I mean, that's a good guy to actually listen to. People betting. Sarah McMahon versus Caitlin Vieira. Caitlin's the girl that beat Ashley Evans Smith in her last fight. Sarah McMahon, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Silver medalist.
I saw that fight with Ashley Evans. I'm going to go Sarah McMahon for this one.
Me too. Training at Team Alpha Male now, too.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a good move for her.
You find her attractive, Sarah McMahon?
You know what? I do.
Why do you feel bad about this? It seems like you're like apologizing.
Why do I feel bad about it? I don't know.
It's an attractive girl, right? I mean, that's something very, very like.
There is something about her.
She's like rock solid. She's got like a cougar thing going. She's a parent.
I don't know what it is, but.
Yeah. She's getting better looking as she gets older, too. Like, she's one of those girls that, like, in 20 years, she'll be smoking hot. Possibly 40 years.
You know,
in 40 years, she'll be the hottest chick in the world.
Wine, baby.
Seriously, there's some girls that, like I don't know how Paige Van Zandt's going to age, but, like, it seems like she might not age as well, but Sarah McMahon is aging better in time. Some girls peak out when they're 19,
yeah,
20, 21.
For sure.
Other ones, 40, you're like, what the fuck?
Some girls just peak out too early, you know, and then by the time they're 30, they're just like, oh.
Yeah, no, of course. Wilson Hayes versus Henry Cejudo.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Why?
Because they're both my brothers.
Huh. How is Wilson your brother?
Because I trained at Alliance for 2 years. I spent quite a bit of time with him.
Right, okay.
And I used to also go up to San Diego quite a bit when I was like 19, 20 as well.
But Cejudo's your brother because?
Because we hang out all the time, too.
He's got the biggest head in MMA. Like, how do they even fit the gold medal around his head?
Shoot, that'll be an interesting fight. You know, I think Henry's got the better stand-up than Wilson. But Wilson's very good as well, very scrappy. You know, he's a good brawler, a good chin. But then Henry's got the really good wrestling, but Wilson's got the world-class jiu-jitsu, and that's what Henry doesn't have.
But Henry's never been submitted.
Henry has never been submitted. No.
But
I think if there's one guy that can, would be Wilson.
I was picking Henry over DJ. I was like, dude, this is the guy that's going to beat Johnson.
Yeah.
And then that was just a massacre.
Oh, yeah.
I was shocked.
Shocked. Everybody was. I know.
That made me, I was a believer in DJ before, but then I was like, whoa.
And I talked to Henry, and even he was shocked.
Yeah.
Like, I thought... Yeah, you know, he was like, I thought I was going to win.
Yeah, his voice doesn't match him.
No.
Tyson Pedro versus Ayer Latifi. You know Tyson Pedro? He's 6-0.
I know Ayer Latifi. I remember him, and he's a beast.
Ashley Evans-Smith versus Sarah Morass. Morass has started a GoFundMe for her training camp.
She's got more what?
She's got a nice ass. She does have a nice ass. That's actually true. Morass is a perfect last name. I think Ashley's got this one, though. Cajun Johnson. Versus Adriana Martins.
Oh, that's a Brazilian.
Yep.
Cajun Johnson. Is that 170 or 155?
At 155.
Cajun Johnson.
He's a rapper. I think he's a guy who raps. I think he's a rapper. From Canada. I think he's good, though. I'm pretty sure he's pretty good. And then Mitch Clark, my man Mitch Clark, is taking on Alex White. So,
be a fun scrap.
That's a good card. Everyone's hating on that card because... Demetrius Johnson and Menunez are headlining it, but that's a deep card. A lot of people like I know, the best fights are never the main event fights. I mean, that happens sometimes.
No.
But it's usually like the third fight in. That's why I never understood people who get these great seats at fights
right.
And don't show up till the main event.
Look at UFC 209, I think, was when Anthony Pettis fought Max Holloway. And then...
Yeah.
And then I fought Tim Kennedy, and then Cub Swanson fought Dung Yum, whatever. And, like, that was a great night of fights.
Yeah.
You know, and
that then, Cub Swanson fight was like the best fight in the history of fights.
Yeah, exactly. Like there was like three or four fights that got dropped from that card, and everybody thought it was going to be a shitty card.
And it was an amazing card.
It was an amazing card.
When you beat Tim Kennedy, man, everybody was saying that, like, oh, Tim Kennedy's going to punish him. Tim Kennedy's going to kick his ass. I mean,
when I saw Tim Kennedy standing across the cage, man, when he came in, coming into that song, I don't remember what song it was, but it was awesome. Awesome entrance that he had. I was like, this guy is pretty fucking big. He was huge.
But
was,
I mean, but once the fight started, what went through your head?
I don't know. I kind of just black out.
Were you like, this is easier than I thought it was going to be? Or man,
yeah, it was definitely easier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And then Vitor Belfort. I mean, did you ever think in your life that you would knock out Vitor Belfort?
You know what? The entire week I had, the entire camp I had a feeling I would. I don't know why.
And that was in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Now, afterwards, now do you have your girlfriend back then or no?
No.
What happened? Tell us, Brazil, right? You knock out Vitor Belfort. Are Brazilian women all over you? Are they running? I mean, that must have been the best after party ever.
Oh, man. I just went up to my room and actually, I didn't even sleep that night. I went to the press conference. That took forever. And then I went to my room and I had to pack all my shit because I had to leave a few hours later. So, no, I didn't.
So you couldn't sleep with no carnival? No,
no, nothing.
Really?
Yeah, that's just how it is.
Wow. That sucks.
That's the life.
Why wouldn't you like stay in Brazil an extra week? and like.
Oh, no. Well, I was leaving the next day to go to Rio for the week.
Oh, okay. And how was that?
That was amazing. One of the best experiences of my life.
What happened?
Oh man, we had a great time. I mean, we went up to the Christ the Redeemer statue. That was sick. I mean, it looks beautiful.
So it's you and your boys. You and your like,
yeah.
Your
me and my roommate went up there.
Who's your roommate?
My roommate is Victor Davila. He's a commentator for UFC in Spanish.
Okay, and he was a fighter too.
Yeah, he was.
Because I'm looking at the thing. There's I'm at your house. And people can't see this, but there's all kinds of cool pictures of you. Then there's like a belt to the right. Is that your belt?
No, that's an EBI belt, an Eddie Bravo Invitational belt. You've seen the EBI?
Yeah.
So anybody that knows about EBI, Victor's one of the producers and owners of the tournament.
So that's, did he win the belt or?
No, that's just one of the belts.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the producers and he just keeps it here.
And then, now, is he a big jiu-jitsu guy? Is he a black belt?
Yep. Yeah, under Eddie.
I saw him walking back and forth. He's the guy with the ears?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
With the tattoos and the ears.
Yeah, he looks like he could fuck some people up.
Yeah, no, yeah, he can. Nice. He's got some age on him, but he can fuck some people up.
No, so, where'd you meet him?
Man, you know what? People ask me all the time, but I don't remember. We met like 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago. You know,
this is cool.
But then we really got close when I asked him if he can do the Ultimate Fighter Latin America with me, like 3 years ago, like 2.5 years ago. And that's when we really got.
So are you living here full time?
Yeah.
So you're now a native California person. Like you're 100% here. Not native, but you've become.
No, my mail gets
California.
Here.
Okay, nice.
My mail gets here.
I always feel like you're traveling. I always feel like you're in Arizona or you're here. You're always somewhere else.
Lately, I haven't been much to Arizona, so I would like to see my family and stuff. But mainly, I've been here.
Nice.
This is my little bubble in Huntington Beach. I like it here. It's chill, you know.
Do you miss Yuma?
I do. I do miss home. You know. I mean, I love training. I love being out here and all the things that I do. And
your sister is so proud of you, by the way.
My
she's always
awesome.
Liking my Instagram.
Oh yeah,
posts.
She loves my mom and my sister love you, man.
Yeah, and I like your mom. I like your mom and your sister. They're very nice people.
That's cool.
They're just like I don't know. Like you definitely, if anybody I've ever met, you're probably the most down to earth guy who didn't forget where you came from.
Yeah, it's impossible. I don't know.
Because you're very successful. I mean, you're a great fighter, but
I had my mom, and that's what the problem was. I had my mom.
Your mom tells you?
Oh, she would tell me she would beat me if if I didn't have my head on straight.
Any brothers, sisters?
What's that?
Oh, you have a sister, but any brothers?
No, it was just
you and her.
It was always me and my sister. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. Because I had heard there was a rumor that you were still living with your mom till like way into your UFC career.
Well, when did I move out? Like, officially I moved out, like,
2.5 years ago.
Now, was that weird? Like, you'd meet a girl after a fight and you bring her home to your mom's? Like, because they probably think, oh, you're in the UFC, you have millions of dollars, yeah. You got a big house, and then your mom's sitting there, like, yelling at you to take out the trash?
I guess it's pretty weird. No, I mean it is what it is, man. You know, that's just how it always is. She still yells at me now. You know, like that's just how it always gonna be with her. That's what she says.
Now, when you fought Tyron Woodley, was she yelling in one corner, and was Tyron's mom's yelling in the other corner? Was it just like the moms?
Probably. Oh, the God. War of the moms.
That must have been. Tyron's mom is so loud, so sweet.
Oh, really?
But she's like this. That's my baby. Get him, Tyron. It becomes like you ever see like one of those church videos where the woman finds Jesus like in church? Like,
yeah.
Has like an exorcism. That sort of is like what Tyron's mom is. And she's
Frankie
like,
Edgar's family is really loud.
Oh yeah.
That was awesome. It's really cool to see though. Like it's not a problem or anything. It's just really cool to see though. How all the family gets really involved. I was there front row, like, go, Frankie. Like she warned us before, like, just before you guys know, like I'm going to be really loud. They're like, all right.
Now, have you told Tyron you want a rematch?
Yeah.
And how did that go?
Yeah, well, you know, he said, all right, we can do it. But, you know, he kind of backed down a little bit.
He backed down from you?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He said I'd have to win a few fights first.
Win a few fights? You've won 9 out of your last 10 fights.
Well, I don't remember. But.
I mean, if you beat Anderson Silva, but you got to be careful for those crazy leg kicks, up kicks. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I challenged him. He's like, well, you got to win a few fights first.
Oh, all come right. on. All right, but if when
somebody did a challenge to me, and we can do it right now.
So, okay, so you beat Anderson Silva, you go back down to 170. Where do you think you are in that? You've got to be top five.
Oh, for sure. I want to fight the top contender or, God willing, I win. Against Anderson Silva, I go back down. I fight the top contender or the title shot. I don't
know. Now, would you want to fight like a Wonder Boy or a Masvidal or one of the Maya?
Yeah. No. Anyway, Robbie Lawler, Carlos Cowboy. One of those guys. Masvidal would be really fun. Like I remember him and I were gonna fight, and I was like, man, like I was ranked top five I think at the time, and he was ranked 14 or something. I was like, I know this is gonna be a tough fight. It's going to be in Mexico, altitude, I don't know. And then I got the fight with Cowboy, and then I messed up that.
What did Cowboy...
Well, that up.
It's okay. What did Cowboy ever say to you after that? Anything?
No, I don't. He didn't say anything. He just... Hey, man.
Well, he came to my show the night before the fight.
Yeah.
And did he know at that point the fight was off, you think?
No. He didn't know until the day of.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Okay, so all right, you're thinking now. What did you think of Woodley Maya? I know people were very upset with Tyron. My thought is, look, Tyron won 5 rounds to nothing.
For sure,
it takes 2 people to make a fight. As much as you can blame Tyron for not finishing, dude, the onus of the blame goes on Maya for his lack of stand up and striking.
For sure.
But what are your thoughts on that fight?
I think actually Tyron, you know, Maya has won, his last 7? He's done everything he's wanted to do to all those opponents. All those 7 opponents have been taken down and submitted, except Woodley. You know, and I think he did a good job defending every single takedown.
Now, would you have jumped into his guard to finish it, or no?
I probably would have played around with it, yeah. But... You know, he took no chances, which is just the difference between him and I.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's never been a fight. Right. I mean, you've never not been in an exciting fight, except for maybe the Tyron fight.
Yeah. That was because, you know, the only times I've lost, well, besides the Weidman fight that I was finished, I've never been finished besides that fight. I followed game plans. Now, ever since... You know, those are the only 2 times that I've lost 2 very close split decisions.
Were when you followed game plans?
When I followed game plans.
Ah.
It was Tyron Woodley. I followed a game plan, and I didn't want to take any risks. I didn't take any risks. Not like I usually would. Same thing with Magny fight. You know? But it happens. You learn from it.
Yeah, but what do you learn? Don't follow the game plan.
Right. No, well,
if I was
learn,
your coach, I'd fucking be like, well, no, that's not exactly.
You take the philosophy that Bruce Lee does. You be like water.
You be, well, yeah,
well,
right.
Which means, you know, you go with the flow.
Right.
This is what I take from it.
Right. You improvise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which means, you know, now you got to be ready from the bottom. You got to be ready up top.
What did, now Cordero was in your corner for the Weidman fight?
Yeah.
What did he say afterwards?
He thinks I should fight at 170.
Right. Okay, that's good advice. That's what I would tell you.
Sure, for sure.
Because there was nothing you did wrong in that fight. It just looked like this dude was just three weight classes above you.
Yeah. He could almost fight light heavyweight, for sure.
And he needed that win badly.
Oh, man.
But you almost finished him. That's what,
it
like,
was funny. I came back home and I rewatched the fight, and then I saw him get his hand raised, bring his family up, and his family's all happy. And then I find myself like being very emotionally drawn and happy for him. Nice. I was like, what is going on?
Now, did your girl watch the fight, or was it curfew?
My girl was
Oh, she came to it?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So now that she's young, 23. Probably horny. Well, you're young too, but I mean, she's got. Did you have sex that night after the fight? Did she?
You know what? You know what? That night happened just like Brazil. I had to be up very, very early, and I had, and I kind of told everybody to leave my room because I wanted to rest,
including your girl.
Yeah.
What?
Well, she had to leave like an hour later.
My girl would be like, I could never be like clean, leave the room. She would fucking flip on me.
I know.
Did she get mad at you?
No, which is.
But you, cool. But at the same time, you lost a fight. You need time to yourself. You want to be alone.
That's kind of how I felt. Like, yeah, I lost the fight. I kind of wanted some time to myself. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I see it both ways. But yeah, she like, hey, let me at least give you a head. No.
No, she wanted to stick around, but she had to leave to the airport. She was leaving. It was late when I was hanging out with my family and stuff.
Right. Now, what do you think about Hendricks now missing weight at 185?
Oh, man. When I saw Johnny miss weight, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be Johnny. You know what I mean?
That makes you look much better, right? Because
I hope so. No, I was like, you know, I was like 7-8 pounds over when I saw, the week before, which when he fought,
you were
right?
193?
I was probably a little bit heavier than that. So I was like, oh, man, I better get my weight down before... Before
That's
this
crazy.
Happens.
Now, do you think know? That him
Johnny losing... gave me motivation. I was like, I don't want to be Johnny.
Now, he's fighting a really good guy coming up. He's fighting that dude who's like 9-0, like 9 knockouts from Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
Bohanchino is
yeah,
what they call
Borchino
him.
Or something. And I'm like, dude.
Oh, yeah. This guy's a monster, isn't
what are you doing, Johnny?
This guy's a monster.
I mean, what is he? Is he bad at business? I mean,
he probably thinks he's going to take him down. I mean, the guy looks strong and heavy, though.
But he just got knocked out by Tim Bosch.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Johnny was such a great wrestler. He's been doing it since he was 5 years old.
Yeah.
He, at one point, was the UFC champion. I mean, what does he need to fight these fucking savages for at this point?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know what he's fighting for. I don't know what his motivation is. Like, he needs to get it together or retire.
But then, if he knocks the guy out or he looks great.
Or maybe he's just fighting to get a little paycheck, which is cool, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean... Fuck. So 185 too, right?
Yeah, but he didn't even miss, you know, he missed weight last time.
Man, I don't know. I don't know about these guys. I don't know what you guys
Anthony Johnson status when he missed weight against Vitor Belfort and then he got cut. And then went to World Series of Fighting, went on a rampage after that.
Yeah. Or, right. Now, once if they make a 175-pound division, if they do that, 65, 75, is that would that be?
Be looking at the new.
That'll be your weight class.
Super welterweight champion,
right?
No. Or what would they call it? I don't know.
I don't know, but that's your weight.
The
75,
the fat welterweight division. I don't know.
Is it is it those last 5 pounds that are the hardest for you?
Yeah, those last 6-7 pounds are difficult.
Yeah, I think you should do it. It makes no sense. You go from 45, 35, 55, 45, 55, and
oh
then
yeah, for sure,
70, 85.
Yeah, it doesn't does not make sense at all. I agree.
I mean, yeah, there'll be more weight classes, but so what? Then if a guy's a champion at 175 and 185, it makes more sense, you know? Now, GSP Bisping, who do you think wins this fight?
GSP and Bisping, you know what? I actually think it's going to be a tough fight for GSP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adding on top of the time off that he's had, like, Bisping's just a tough fight. He's a tough fighter.
Have you trained with Bisping?
Never.
Never trained with him?
No.
Because he's over here now.
He's over at the Rufka gym.
At Parsons? With Ryan Parsons?
Ryan Parsons, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most people are picking Bisping because of that, and also because of people claiming that GSP was on HGH.
That's interesting.
And,
yeah. Well, I don't know. A lot of people claim he was on stuff while he was champion, right? But yeah. He was the one advocating like USADA testing before it even came.
He seems like a guy who's a pretty straight shooter. I don't see him being a cheater, but you know, look, there are plenty of people that I'm like, really, you know, like
I got to spend a month out there in Montreal for his last fight. He flew me out. Him and Faraz flew me out a month to help him train for John Hendricks.
Oh wow.
So that was a cool experience in Montreal.
How did you do against GSP?
I did not do good. I did not do good.
Really?
You know what? I did better than I thought I would. You know what I mean? I had expectations going there, and I didn't do as bad as I thought. And then also against Rory McDonald, I did pretty good against Rory as well, and we had good sparring. He tore my PCL. My PCL ligament is why I had to pull out of one of my fights.
Damn. Now, when you go with GSP,
but it was a cool experience, man. Such a cool experience.
Were you? Were you guys sparring hard? You and GSP?
Yeah, we did everything.
Did you win any rounds?
No. He had just bought. I landed a few punches. I almost got a takedown here and there. One time, he's like, "Oh, dude, I almost got taken down." Like. No one has been close to taking me down.
Wow. He's that hard to take down?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. but you're a great wrestler.
Yeah. Well, he said he hadn't had anybody come that close at the time.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool. He had been champion for a long time and
that's crazy though, that he was that good at wrestling. I know he's a good wrestler, but I would think that you being this
I thought I had it. I was deep in the hips and then somehow he just makes this little hip escape, and I lose grip of everything.
Wow. I hear that? Gaslam fucked up GSP in sparring.
Almost.
Okay. he beat him 10-6.
I almost took him down.
That's awesome. That's good. That's cool to hear, though. That's actually, I mean, you know.
No, he was such a cool dude. Such a cool dude.
Now, I heard he loves bigger women. Can you?
I guess he loves black women.
Black. Have you seen him? Like, I heard he's just like the man with that. Like, he's like in a rap videos.
Was,
and stuff.
You know what? It was a rumor until that point when I saw we were riding back from practice. He was taking me out to dinner or something. We were on our way to dinner after practice. He's like, "Wait, I just got to take some cash." So he was getting some cash out at an ATM. He pulled over, and there's this black lady there. She's pulling money out before him. And then I look back at the ATM, and then he's getting her number.
Wow, nice.
And so, yeah.
There you go. Was it Angela Hill?
No.
No?
Oh. Dude, it was crazy. Everywhere we went, he was the man. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. He was the king.
Seems like a real class act.
He's the king. Everywhere. Yeah. I mean, they opened doors for him. Everywhere. Yeah. It was cool to see.
I love black women. You ever been with a black woman? You ever been with a black chick?
Once.
Just once?
Just once.
And then you went back. They say once you go back.
I did go back, yeah.
Now they're fun. I mean, not there. I mean, the ones that I've been with, they're all fun. The ones that I've been with.
What do you mean there?
We had a lot of really good times. You know? I don't discriminate. I don't think I've ever been with an Indian woman.
No.
I've been with a girl from Pakistan.
Really?
India now.
Hmm. Pakistan. How was that?
It was okay. I mean, okay. I mean, she didn't represent all Pakistani women, but this particular one was a little hairy. a little hairy in the vaginal area. Actually, very hairy in the vaginal area. And I like more landing. I'm more of a landing strip guy or totally shaved.
Yeah,
or,
for sure.
Some guys like hairy bushes. That's not my thing. I don't know. Just I've never been. That some guys really go for that. They have like a thing. I don't know. No,
I'm not much of a butchy guy either.
No, then you go down there. You got hair stuck in your teeth. You know, you come back up. You're spitting and like, you know. I'll tell you though, one of the best feelings though, is finding a hair in your ass, like in a shower. You ever thought, like, if you take a shower and you pull out this long hair, and you're like, oh, I was that, that was the chick I banged last
like
night.
Like a hair, like a
not your hair,
like a head hair,
like a, yeah, head hair,
head hair
from the girl that you've hooked up with the night before. You're like, oh, it's like a souvenir, you know, like it just.
That's gross.
You've never done that.
Soggy and wet and oily.
It feels good, man. It's just like, it takes you back to the month before when it was there. So all right, look, I'm just saying, you're a young guy, these things will, when you get older,
I don't know, but I don't have that sick mind you do.
Sick mind? Just having to whip out, fuck.
No, I'm kidding.
You're like, oh, I thought she was a blonde. Anyway, listen, I gotta go run to a show. Kelvin, what do you got? Wait, so you're leaving tomorrow, Chicago?
I'm leaving tomorrow, so I gotta do some stuff, do some packing. And
whose wedding is it?
R.Shea Cooper. I don't know if you know him. He's an author and also a motivational speaker.
Nice.
He lives in New York, but the wedding's in Chicago. That's where he grew up. And I actually met him through Uriah. There's a point where me, Uriah, and R.Shea Cooper, who's getting married.
Uriah Hall.
We all lived together in Irvine.
Oh, wow.
There's a point where we all lived and trained together. That's where we... so that's how I met him, through Uriah. And now he's getting married this weekend. So
I like Uriah. He's got too much of a thick skin, though. He needs to be more sensitive. He never gets offended or anything. It's weird. It's like nothing gets to that guy ever.
Oh, are you kidding me? He's got a temper.
I know. I'm fucking with you.
Are you kidding me?
No, I love Uriah, but he's very easily influenced. But I want to see him come back and fight. He hasn't fought in a while.
He's fighting September or something.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he hasn't fought in a while. I agree.
I know Hector Lombard is fighting Anthony Smith. That should be a good fight. Really? Anthony's got really good, like, Muay Thai, tough guy.
That should be a good fight.
Anthony loses the first two rounds every single time and comes back in the third, which is usually
should
when Hector
be a good fight.
Gets
Tony's
tired.
Fighting...
Khabib? No, Tony's fighting Kevin Lee.
Kevin Lee, that's a good fight.
Man, and they went to the same college.
Which one? They were on the same wrestling team. In Michigan?
I want to say in Northern California.
Oh, okay, because they're both from Michigan.
But I think they went to, like, JUCO, or they were both... But Kevin... knew Tony from wrestling, but Tony was a little older.
Okay.
But he came back to practice sometimes, but okay. they didn't wrestle together. But they had like a pact where they wouldn't call each other out, and they almost got into a fight in Vegas.
Okay.
Like that pact went out the fucking window.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I think it's for an interim title.
Or when Kevin got on the Fox studio and called him out on his interview.
But I think Kevin thought that was a joke, and he was fucking around with him, and then Tony...
No way Tony, that was a joke. Lee straight up called him out, like, big time.
That's a tough fight. I don't know... You know, Kevin Lee's been looking really good.
Kevin, yeah, he's on a hot one. He was on a hot one, just like Tony.
I think
except Kevin's been flying under the radar a little bit more than Tony has until now. Now he's getting the attention that he deserves.
Well, the thing about Kevin Lee is the best thing that ever happened to him was him getting knocked out by that jiu-jitsu guy. Honestly.
Which guy?
He got knocked out by a couple. I was at the fight. It was some jiu-jitsu guy knocked him out. Like six fights ago.
What?
And yeah, because Kevin said he led with a backwards uppercut, not a front uppercut. He threw like he led with an uppercut from the back, like thing that you should never do in boxing.
Yeah, just telegraphed it.
So, but I think it really woke him up as to I'm a human being and I can get rocked.
Sure.
Because since then he's fought safer, smarter.
Sure.
And.
His IQ has just gotten way better.
Way above. And he's young. He's young and cocky.
Yeah, he's 24.
And Tony gets hurt a lot. Yeah. Even against that Lando Calrissian, whatever the fuck, yeah, the guy fought.
Lando Venata.
He hurt him a lot.
A lot.
And
Tony will take one or give one.
But at the same time, I mean,
Tony is Tony.
Have you trained with Tony?
Yeah, a lot.
Who do you think wins this fight?
Well, Tony. Tony. I've trained with Tony, but I just think... I just feel like his skills are a little bit more developed than Kevin's.
Yeah.
But Kevin, I mean, he's just a grind nose. I mean, he works hard. He's got good stand-up, good wrestler, good jiu-jitsu as well, you know?
And, he's a guy that's been out.
He's on a hot streak. Right now, he's young. He's confident. He's ready to go.
From Detroit, college wrestler.
He wants it, you know what I mean? So it'll be tough. It's not like he's just going to take like Tony's just going to take it. Like, this kid's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be a good fight. I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to it. Well, listen, thanks for letting me into your house.
Dude, thanks for coming over.
This has been a blast.
Welcome anytime, man.
You're the man. I usually don't drive to people for podcasts. I'm like, fuck
man,
that.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Have a great time at the wedding. And I'll see you when you get back.
All right, man. Thank you.